quarter. Gemara says, Chash v'roisho. If you have pain in your head, Yasuk b'tayro. All right, so let's try. Hopefully learning will fix the problems, as it always does. Okay, Parsha Shmini, Shavas HaChodesh. How many psukim in Parsha Shmini? 91 psukim in Parsha Shmini. 91 psukim. All right, so it's time to inaugurate. It's mamish amazing the way it falls out in a leap year, because Parsha Shmini is mamish this week. That's what's happening. In other words, the 7 days leading up to Vayi Bayom HaShmini, the 8th day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, took place the last week in Adar. Right? The 8th day, the day that Aaron becomes Kohen Gadol and serves for the first time, is Aleph Nisan. That's this coming Tuesday, Habalin Litova. So we're mamish in Yana Diyama.
Are there connections with that creation of that, or the world is created?
Oh, you're saying today, what's today's day? What's today's day? Today is the 25th of Adar, which means today is day one of creation, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, so day one of creation is today. It's amazing. All right, so let's learn. Let's see. All right, we'll start from the second piece. Vayomer Moshe zeh davar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. Okay, but just to give us a little context, because it's a couple of psukim into the parsha. Vayi b'yom ha'shmini kara Moshe la'aron levanav lezikne Yisrael. It was on the 8th day. Again, this is Aleph Nisan. It's time for Aaron to officially become the Kohen Gadol, and Aaron's sons are going to become the regular Kohanim. Vayomer al Aaron, kach l'cha egel ben bakar l'chatas v'ayel la'ola t'mimim ha'krim l'fnei Hashem. Aaron, you're going to bring some special karbanos, starting with an egel. Rashi says this is a tikkun, obviously, for the chet, ayin gimel. Ve'al b'nei Yisrael tedaber leimor k'chu sirizim l'chatas ve'egel v'keves b'nei shana t'mimim l'ola. Beshur va'ayel l'shlamim, okay, a whole series of karbanos. L'zbayach l'fnei Hashem, u'mincha b'lula v'ashamen, ki ayom Hashem nira aleichem. Because today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear to you. V'ka'achava. A heavenly fire is going to descend in this week's parsha, signaling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with Klal Yisrael, that he approves of the Mishkan, that he accepts our karbanos. It's not just a human fire, but a heavenly fire. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear to you. So they took everything as Moshe told them to. They took these karbanos. They brought them to the Mishkan, and everyone stood lifnei Hashem. Vayomer Moshe, and here's our pasuk vav. Zeh adavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. This is the thing that Hashem has commanded you to do. Vayera aleichem kvod Hashem. And then the kvod Hashem will appear to you. Now, it's hard to know what this pasuk is adding, because you just told me everything to do. Right? It was on the 8th day. You told Aaron, do like this. You told B'nai Yisrael, do like this. Then Vayomer Moshe. Moshe says, by the way, this is the thing that, this is what you're supposed to do. You just told me what to do. But, and you'll tell me what? Vayera aleichem kvod Hashem. And then Hashem will appear to you. You told me that in Pasuk Dalet. Ki hayom Hashem nira aleichem. So what exactly is being added by Pasuk Vav? Vayomer Moshe. Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. Vayera aleichem b'chul. Okay, so says our Rebbe. bottom line of the right column. On page Kuf Chaf Aleph. Lo Pairish Mayasu. It doesn't explain. It's unclear from the pasuk what are we being told to do. Im hakavana ala koidem kvar amar. Lo havi leila meimar rak du'u sheyer aleichem. If you're just repeating and telling me you should do what I just told you a second ago to do, so then why does it have to say, Vayomer Moshe, this is what you should do. You told me what to do already. It should simply say, you should just know, right? If Moshe wants to say, you should know what's about to happen. Even that seems extra, because in Pasuk Dalet, he told me what's going to happen. Hashem is going to appear. And if you'll tell me that what we're about to introduce, what's about to happen next, but that's also not true, because that's Pasuk Zion and onwards. So what is this pasuk vav kind of in between? Imala amar lamata, hineze amir b'fnei atzma acherkach. Right, we have a new vayomer in pasuk zayin, vayomer Moshe. So what is pasuk vav? That's our Rebbe's kasha. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, "Zeh adavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu vayera aleichem kvod Hashem." This is what you need to do. You told me what to do in the first five pesukim. Pasuk Zion already starts to tell me something else that we need to do. So what is Pasuk Vav? So our Rebbe says a Gvaldic thing. It's a theme that we've seen many times. Achu Shemoisha Amar Lehem Lamal Leshiyasu Akarbanus. It's true. Moshe told them the first five pesukim to bring karbanos. V'siyem, and he concluded again in Pasuk Dalid, Ki Hayom V'chulu. Ki Hayom Hashem Nira Aleicha. Because today Hashem is going to appear to you. Now, why would you bring a carbon? Moshe just told you. Well, when you bring a carbon, you're going to get to see a direct response from Hashem. But that's not why we bring a carbon. There was concern, Moshe said, now that I told you what's going to happen when you bring a carbon, there was a concern that what? That you're going to bring the carbon for that purpose. Namely, so that the Kvod Hashem will appear to you. This is an important idea. This is also considered doing something for yourself. So for example, when the Rabbi told us back in Parshas Noach, Noach was told to build the Teva, and he built the Teva as Hashem told him to do so. So I understand over there. You have to tell me, Noach built the Teva l'shem Shemayim. He didn't build it just because he needed practically to save his life. That's obviously would be focusing on himself, not focusing on the Dvar Hashem. Or the Kedushas Levi, who has this idea in many, many places throughout Kedushas Levi. I'll give you one from Chumash Vayikra, Parshas Bahar. The Berditchever says, when it talks about Shemitah, we should make Shemitah a Shabbos l'Hashem. Why might you have Shabbos or Shemitah? You might have Shemitah because it's good for your crops to let the land rest every couple of years. Otherwise, you're going to drain it of all its nutrients. It might make sense to have Shabbos every week because otherwise you're going to burn out. So you need a day off. You need a day to recover. Says the Pasuk, what? Shabbos ha'aretz, Shabbos l'Hashem. Says Kedush Levi, don't do it for yourself. Do it for Hashem. There, it's obvious what the personal benefit is. Right? There's a financial gain. It's a physical gain. Here, we're talking about a spiritual gain. And yet, we're still being told, don't bring the karbanos just because it'll allow you to what? To have an experience of a Kadosh Baruch Hu appearing to you. Zeh mikri gam kem lanos atzvam. That's also called doing it for yourself. It's not only that a person shouldn't choose Yiddishkeit for the physical benefits, right? But the financial benefits to follow a Torah system. You know, keep kosher because it's more healthy, if that's true. Maybe yes, maybe no. That's not why we keep kosher. We keep kosher because Hashem said so. Kasher tziva Hashem. So Moshe is saying to them, when you bring the karbanos, you should do it because Hashem said so. V'lo zehu aderech la'avodah ha'amitis. The true way in avodas Hashem is never to do something for your own benefit, even your own spiritual benefit. V'zeh she'amar lahem zeh ha'davar. Asher amarti aleichem avodas hakarbanos zeh ha'davar. This thing that I told you, namely the karbanos that I introduced in the first five pesukim of the parsha, you should know asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. You should do it because Hashem said so. Atem asu rak asher tziva Hashem l'kayim mitzvosav v'lo l'shum kavana acheres. When you bring the karbanos, don't say, why are you bringing these karbanos? Bring these karbanos because now we're going to finally get to experience Hashem. That's not why you're bringing the karbanos. You bring the karbanos because Hashem said bring the karbanos. Umameila, and yes, Moshe says, and yes, automatically what will happen when you do that is vayera aleichem kvod Hashem. But that shouldn't be the intention. You shouldn't do it because of the, you know, even the spiritual gain. Masha'en kein, im techavnu lishiyare aleichem kvod Hashem, as opposed to having that kavana that I'm doing it dafka to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself to me. Again, it's a high level. But it's a level of an Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem doesn't say, what's in this for me financially, physically, emotionally, even spiritually. And Eved Hashem does Ratzon Hashem because it's Ratzon Hashem. And if you believe in Hashem and God tells you to do something, Kasher Tziva Hashem, you do it, period. Insight number one. Says the Rebbe in the next piece, continuing on the same pasuk, he quotes a very interesting Targum Yonasan. Okay, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, the Targum's translation of this pasuk. Vayomer Moshe zeh davar v'chulu. The bottom left-hand paragraph. Hinei Targum Yonasan mefarish. The Targum Yonasan says the following. Right. Now, obviously, if it's a Targum, it's in Aramaic, so let's see if we can figure out the words. The Targum says, Dein Pisgama. Zahadavar, Dein Pisgama, this is the Pisgam, this is the command. Disa Avdun, that you should do, right? So far, Zahadavar Asher Tzivashem Tasu. And then Targum Yonasan says, A'adu Yos Yitzra Bisha. Now, the truth is, I looked up the Targum Yonasan, it's actually A'avru. A'avru Yos Yitzra Bisha. This is what you should do to what? To remove the Yitzra Bisha, to remove the Yitzahara. Min libchon, from your heart. Uminyad, minyad is the Aramaic of miyad. And then immediately, minyad, iskale lechon, yikrada Hashem. Then the glory of Hashem will reveal itself to you. So this is what you should do. What's the chiddush? Again, mostly it's just an Aramaic translation, but Targum Yonasan adds one little nakuda. Namely, this is what you should do to remove the Yetzirah from your heart. Interesting. Apparently, the Targum Yonasan was bothered by the same question we asked above. What is the point of Pasuk Vav? Moshe, again, he told them what to do in the first five Pesukim, and then Moshe says, this is what you should do to remove the Yetzirah from your heart. That's how Targum Yonasan is learning it. Right? In other words, it's adding something, though. This is what you should do, right? Not just to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, not just to bring the glory of Hashem upon you, right, that the Kvod Hashem should appear before you. But rather, says Targum Yonasan, Moshe is adding something. This is what you should do to eradicate the Yetzirah from your heart. So again, Hinei HaKushya Lo HaKushya Kenis Kaleel. The Kash is the same Kash as above. Ki Lo Parish Mayasu. It doesn't say what, in the Pasuk, it doesn't say what to do. Avaloneh Daheich Maruma Zainyan Sheperish Hu Zal B'Kasuf. But I also, says our Rebbe, I don't see, where did he see in the Pasuk that if you do this, you'll remove the Yetzirah from your heart? Where does it say that in the Pasuk? How did he get that? So, our Rebbe tells us an amazing Yesod. We'll understand. If we study this sugya carefully, we'll understand. Whenever the Yetzirah starts up with you, Yitzhara says this taiva, avara, or this misplaced love, or yirara, or this unholy, irrational, you know, fear or anxiety. Muchach lizbonin, a person who's a thinking person should ask, me'ayin bazel la'adam, where did this come from? Kevan she'ein ze ritzono yizbarach, how did this taiva, if I have a neshama, if I'm a good Jew, if Hashem wants me to be Matzliach, so where all of a sudden did this taiva come from? How did Hashem allow this to be? It's not the Ratzon Hashem. And if you'll tell me what the Yetzirah is in control of me, more than Hashem's in control of me, that also sounds strange. V'chisalka daitach shayetzirhu mikatrga demarichas v'shalom. Is the Yetzirah really in opposition to its master? In other words, the Yetzirah is also, we know in Pnimius, the Yetzirah is also really a, whatever, however, it's different ways to understand what Yetzirah is. Let's imagine it as a malach, right? There's a Yetzirah, like this force, right? But if it's a malach, it's a malach of Hashem, who works for Hashem. The famous mashal of the Zohar. Its job is to try to seduce us to do averos, but it really works for us. It's on the same team as us. It wants us to be matzliach. Yetzirah wants to be defeated, right? The way the Zohar describes it. Imagine a king who wants to test his son, the prince, to see if he's a person of values, a person of good decision-making. So he hires a prostitute to try to seduce his son. He doesn't want the prince to get involved with this woman. He doesn't want that to happen. But he's testing him. And the king is telling this woman, do your best to try to get him to do an Avera. Right? But the king doesn't want that. And the truth is that the person was hired to play that job, right? To be the actress to act out in that way, to try to seduce the prince. She's faithful to the king. She doesn't want the prince. Her job is to make it difficult for the prince, to entice him to say yes. But really, everyone wants the prince to say no. We want the prince to have a strong resolve, strong character. So how does the Yetzirah, where does it come from? The Yetzirah puts a taiva ra, an ava ra, a yira ra. Where does that come from? So says our Rebbe, you have to understand, whenever that happens, yeah.
What are we going to be stronger for if he just got rid of the Yitzhahara? If Hashem's setting the Yitzhahara to really just strengthen our character.
Right.
But what is he strengthening our character for if he just...
It's more revealing our character, I think, right? The way the Ramban explains a Nisayon. Right? A Nisayon is to take something theoretical and to bring it into reality. In other words, you have that. You have those kofos. It's just you're not aware of your own kochos until you're challenged. So I think the way the Ramban says, right, that it should go min hakoach el hapoel. It should go from a theoretical commitment to an actual commitment. Right? I think that's part of it. That you should be able to recognize your own kochos and nefesh. And I think that fits very well with what he's about to say. Al kein yizbonin shezehu mehamidos hanivraim shenaflu b'shvira. It must be that whenever I fall into an avara, it's a form of chesed. It's a form of chesed that has somehow become corrupted. When I fall into a yirara, right, a wrongful gvura, so it's a form of gvura that's become corrupted. It's had a shvira. It's had a breaking. It's had a falling. Uva elav hamachshava me'ava o me'yira v'kiyotzei. And therefore, instead of manifesting as what? As avas Hashem, as avas Torah, as avas Yisrael, as Yiras Hashem, and the many levels of Yiras Hashem, Yiras HaOnesh, Yiras HaRomumus, instead of manifesting as what Ava and Yira really represent, it's now fallen into a low place. And therefore it's expressing itself as what? As a lower level Ava, or a lower level Yira. Va'odam, so says our Rebbe, what are we supposed to do? Va'odam mechuyav lahafshit gashmias ha'inyan, lahalos la'avas Hashem yisbarach, uli yir aso, your job is to say, wait a minute, why am I falling in love with something that's usser? Why am I afraid of something that's not really something that deserves my respect or my awe? It must be that I'm touching a truth of something, but in a very fallen state. So instead of trying to fulfill that taiva with a wrong type of ava, with a misplaced ava, maybe I could take that feeling, that emotion, which I have, which has entered into my heart, into my mind, and I can elevate it. And I could bring it back. I could strip it. Lahafshit gashmiyos ha'inyan. Like he says, five lines from the bottom. Lahafshit gash, to remove the what? The garments of that thing. You have to remember, the mashal of the Baal HaTanya. Right? Mashal of the Baal HaTanya when it comes to Limud Torah. When it comes to making contact with Hashem. A person's walking down the street one day, and he sees the king. He sees the king. And the king is happy to see him. And he's overjoyed. And he says to the king, or the king says to him, can I give you a hug? And he gives the king a hug. He embraces the king. The king embraces him. Unbelievable. So he comes back later and he says to his friend, I met the king today. You met the king? Not only that, I hugged the king. I made contact with the king. I held the king in my arms. You held the king in your arms. So he says, so your friend says to you, what was the king wearing? And what was the king wearing? What kind of strange question is that? I was wearing the royal robes. What do you mean? Oh, so you didn't hug the king, you hugged his clothing. You hugged his robes. You hugged his garments. That's called hugging the king. What do you mean? Because he's wearing clothing, that's not called hugging him. The king is in the garments. That's a strange way to think of it. That's not called contact with the king. Of course that's touching the king. So however, the whole world is wrapped in garments. Right? And our job is to what? Our job is to realize that whatever it is that I'm interacting with is just an outer layer of a deeper idea. And therefore the job is lahafshit gashmi asenian. Yeah? to remove the klipos, to remove the gashmias, to remove the superficiality of that inyan, to recognize that, wait a minute, I could use that same midah of ahava. I know how much I can feel passionate about sometimes the wrong things. If I rectify that, if I try to free it from its outer layers, from its garments, so then I can use it for an ahava elokis, I could use it for a proper year. Vamaskilim yavinu. Kasher kodam hadibur elenu bekam bekomos. Right? This is well known. This idea is well known as explained in many places. Viteka bahalos adam alibo. And as soon as a person realizes this, turning the page, yizgala lo pnimiyas hachiyas shal machshava shukvor Hashem. When we say that everything in the world is filled with the honor of Hashem, and everything is here to declare, to bring kvod shamayim, so what does that mean? There's a lot of things on the surface that don't look like that. Right, if I view it only on a surface level, I don't understand how it brings kvod shamayim. But if I open my mind to look deeper, then immediately, he says, immediately, yizgala lo pnimiyas hachiyas shal machshava, then I'm able to access what it really is, which is kvod Hashem. Va'od b'havin inyan yoser. And the more that I understand it and I go deeper, yizgala lo shamachshava shenafla lo, I'll come to realize that whatever strange thought fell into my mind, it's really just a kisoy umalbush lepnimiyas achius. It's just a garment of the idea. So I have this strange idea, this strange thing, which I know Hashem wouldn't want that. Why is the Yitzhara suggesting that? Oh, maybe, okay, maybe this is an unrefined version of a good idea. So instead of, you know, getting caught up again in the external garment of the idea, let me dig deeper. And I'll come to recognize, I'll come to recognize that what? That the king himself, the body of the king, is contained within the garments. And that's called Kvod Hashem. Ki Rabbi Yochanan kara lamane machbedusa. Rav Yochanan would call his garment his kavod. Why are garments called one's kavod? What is a garment called one's kavod? Right? Say, the clothing makes the man. What does that mean? The garments are one's kavod. It's interesting. The word kavod is used both as the outside and as the inside. When David HaMelech says, Uri kvodi, wake up my kavod, he's talking about his neshama. Kavod is a code word for neshama. But Rav Yochanan also called his garments kavod. My garments give me honor. My garments reveal my essence. How so? But it's the muscle of this, again, it's the muscle of the king in the garments. In other words, when I realize that this does not stop me from being me. The king, the fact that the king is wrapped in garments doesn't stop me from being able to see the king or touch the king. So when I look at the world and I look at my desires and I feel like this is a blockage between me and Hashem, not true. It's just a garment. Learn how to see it. Learn to recognize what it really is. Masha Enkin, Kishanisha Chas V'Shalom, but Gashmias Machshava, God forbid, when I leave it, again, in the Gashmias of that idea, then of course it looks like something which is anti-Hashem and anti-Torah. And I'm left wondering, how did this Yetzirah get this idea into me? Why would Hashem allow such an idea to exist? It exists for you to be able to take that broken version of the idea and fix it up into something nice, which actually gives quote Hashem. So he says in the next paragraph, so now we understand our pasuk. It says, HaKadosh ulai tzarech lomer hakasuv. This is the pshat of the kasuv. This is the pshat of the pasuk. Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. Ratzalomer. I'll call davar v'davar sheyipol b'machshavo seichem. Any idea that enters into your mind. Ta'asu es asher tziva Hashem ba'osu inyan. Don't say any idea is stupid. Don't say any idea has no place. Every idea has a place. That's why it exists. But it doesn't necessarily, it's not meant to be fulfilled in the first thought of the idea. So ze ha-davar, when this idea comes your way, whatever the davar is, whatever the thing is, right? Asher tziva Hashem tasu. Do it the way that Hashem would want you to do it. Hashem's not against love. Hashem's not against yira. Hashem's not against chesed, gvura, teferas. Hashem's not against any of these things. He is against using it in the wrong way. I mentioned yesterday, the Torah calls arayos chesed. That's a fallen form of chesed. That's a wrongful use of chesed. So take chas and restore it to its proper place. Right? Tasu rak es asher tziva Hashem, but also do it the way Hashem wants you to do it. Imhu midibur ava. So if a person has a desire to speak words of love, so tisoru avas Hashem. Chavetz Chaim says when we say in Pesukei Zimra, Shiru lo zamru lo sichu b'chol niflosav. Chavetz Chaim says Hashem likes shira, Hashem likes zimra, Hashem even likes sicha, Hashem likes conversations. But the goal is to use them in an elevated way. Shiru, want to sing? Right? So don't sing about nothing. Shiru lo, sing to Hashem. Right? Zamru lo, want to make music? Make music for Hashem. Sichu, you want to talk? Right? It's good for people to interact, to have conversations, to talk. Don't talk about nothing. Talk about holy things. Sichu, you want to talk about something? Sichu b'chol niflosav. Talk about Hashem's wonders. All right? Not just the miracles we see at Mitzrayim. Talk about what a beautiful world Hashem made. Talk about the wonders of creation. Right? Learn to use these midos, these desires, in a more refined way. V'im yira, if a person has awe or fear, tisoru yiras Hashem. So try to again channel that towards Yiras Hashem. V'teka of Yisra aleichem she'ena yetzer mekatra gadamare, and you'll come very quickly to see your yetzer is not your enemy and it's not Hashem's enemy. Raku kavod Hashem, it's rather just another garment. Yetzer is a certain garment that Hashem expresses Himself in, and our job is to not fall for it. To look at the yetzer and say, "Buddy, I know we're on the same team." He'll never admit it. His job is not to admit that. But we're on the same team. We're actually on the exact same team. We both want the same thing, which is Kvod Shemayim. Shebechol Inyan. Right? Raku Kvod Hashem Shebechol Inyan Mislabish Apnimius Chiyuso Yisbach. That the Yitzhar is also just an enemy in disguise. That he's wearing a garment, but his Pnimius is that he's a representative of Hashem. Bechol Davar Shebeolam Nikra Kvod Hashem. And everything in the world is just Kvod Hashem, which he's saying is Malbushim, garments, linitzotze kedushasu yizbach, garments that conceal those sparks of holiness. V'zeh ha-perish, and that's the pshat, when we say, Moloch al kol ha-olam kulo b'chodecha. What do we say in the Yom Narayim? What do we say in Rosh Hashanah? Moloch al kol ha-olam kulo, Hashem, you rule the whole world, b'chodecha, right? In your glory, in your honor, in your kavod. What does that mean? It means, Hashem, on Rosh Hashanah, I'm paying attention. I realize everything is you, although sometimes it's what? It's bichvodecha. It's b'malbushecha. It's in garments. But not for a second do I think that there's a part of the world that's not beneath your malchus. Yihi kvod Hashem le'olam, oz yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. What does the pasuk say? Yihi kvod Hashem le'olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, reveals himself in the world, sometimes still within his kavod, within his garment, so to speak. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. Hashem causes, not just rejoices, but Hashem causes us, or we almost can cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rejoice. Samach lo namar el yismach. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I made this interesting game for you to play. It's called hide and seek. You have to look around, you have to try to find me, and when you do, it gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu great joy. But realize, the kavod Hashem is Lo'olam. The world itself is Kvod Hashem. It's just garments of Hashem, V'havein. And that's what the Targum Yonason was saying. The Targum Yonason says, Zeh Adavar, this is what you should do in order to what? V'yera Aleichem Kvod Hashem. Says the Targum Yonason, this is what you should do to defeat the Yetzirah from your heart. What does that mean? Ye'avru yos yitzra bisham in libchon. Remove the Yetzirah from your heart. What's a lomar? Rak hasiru es hayetzer. Remove what? The Yetzer aspect of the heart. In other words, the superficial layer of the heart. Uminyad, and then immediately, is Gali, and then you'll realize that what? That Hashem is there the whole time. That's the Pasuk. Zer davar shertiva Hashem tasu. If you could do this and remove the superficial layer, then vayera lechem kvod Hashem. Then automatically, right, you'll be able to see the true kavod of Hashem. The inner kavod of Hashem. Kavod could be a garment. Kavod could be the essence. So uminyad is gali. V'take of yizgal lechem, shayetzer hu rak kvod Hashem. The way the Rebbe is saying it is, you'll see immediately that the Yitzhar was just a garment of Hashem. Yitzhar was not your enemy. It was really just a garment of Hashem. Malbush l'netutzei kedushasa yizbarach, uvesocho Hashem. So this is the eyes of a person who learns Torah in a deep way. I'm always looking for something deeper. When I say learn Torah, I'm not just talking about it with books. I'm talking about this. You walk down the street with an eye towards Pnimius. You ask yourself, what am I seeing? And why am I seeing it? What is Hashem saying to me? What's beneath the surface here? Umadua, and he ends with a beautiful line, Umadua yispate ha'odam lamalbush. Why would I be seduced, as it were? Why would I be enticed by the garments? V'lo yizbonein al pnimius ha'melech. Why would I get stuck on the outermost layer when there's something called the pnimius ha'melech inside? V'havein ma'od, understand this idea very well, v'yun'am lenafshecha, and it'll be delightful for your soul, because you'll realize that you're swimming in godliness all the time. Hashem is not contained to particular locations or particular experiences. Hashem is within everything. Some things wear more layers of garments. You got to look a little deeper. Yeah.
So this seems more like talking about like an internal aspect, like looking at your Yetzer Hara and saying that the peel off the, you know, the garments. But yesterday it seemed like we were saying more like outward thing, even things when you're walking around.
It's both. It's both.
So
right? It's everything. Everything's in garments. Your garment, your first garment, is called your body. That's your first garment. You're also wearing, you know, other layers on top of that. But I'm talking about physical garments. We're talking about whatever blockage, right? Whatever blockage we have in our avodas Hashem, right? And there's different. Sometimes you see a tzaddik, and you see right away the person's a tzaddik. Chachmas adam ta'ir panav. Yeah, chachmas adam. The wisdom of a person illuminates their face. Sometimes you see a person, right, and you see that they have a chachma. What are you saying? What do you mean you see that the person looks smart? What does that mean? Chachmas adam ta'ir panav. It's radiating from his face. Is it like Moshe Rabbeinu, literally glowing? How do you know? How can you tell if a person's all, right? Because the person has worked to chip away some of those layers to reveal what's beneath the surface. You know Rabbi Nachman's story of the Prince of Gems? His skin peels off at the end and it's really, the whole thing is, you know, the whole thing is just gems beneath the nose. I'll have to read it one time. You want to tell it? You want to tell the story quickly? No, you don't want to tell the story quickly. It's not like a super long. Yosef, you know the story? You want to give a synopsis? Basically, the punchline, without totally ruining the story, although I already did. The punchline is that there was this prince, and he had a jealous sister, and eventually she tried to put a spell on him, and in the end, his skin became afflicted with some type of leprosy, and in the end, his skin peeled off, the outer layer, and basically everything she tried to do to stop him, right, was v'na hafachu. In the end, his skin peeled off, and it revealed that, you know, beneath he was made up of all the precious stones in the world. It's a beautiful story. There's a lot of layers to it, but the simple lesson of the story, right, is that when we can peel away some of that ugliness that appears on the surface, we're able to realize that we're made of the best stuff of earth. Right? We can peel off our guf, and we can have our neshama soar free. We come to realize who we really are. Okay, so that's what this piece is saying. Your taivas are not bad. Your taivas are just—they just need to be uplifted. Right? They're not inherently bad. They need a tikkun. They need to be used in a more elevated way. If you're a person who has strong feelings, intense feelings of, you know, pick your mida off the spheros, right? Just realize that it's an opportunity to do something big. B'nai Yisachar in his sefer, our Rebbe, in his sefer B'nai Yisachar, he brings from the Maggid of Mezrich that when Yosef HaTzadik was being seduced by Ashes Potiphar, so Chazal say in the Mezrich, what was she doing? She was changing her garments every day. She was trying every outfit she could to try to get his attention. Not sure what exactly Yosef's style was. So she tried on a lot of different outfits to try to get his attention. Right? But that, B'nai Yisachar explains a very deep thing, that that whole inyan of changing garments, of, right, of different Levushim or Malbushim, right, is very much connected to the Svira of Tiferes, and Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes, and then Yosef saw his father's reflection in the window, right, Sota Daf Lamed Vav. He explains basically that Yosef was able to look at Esh Potiphar and say, all these garment changes is saying something to me. And it reminded him in some way, again, some very deep way, of his father, and it got him out of there. He said, this is not for me. So again, instead of being seduced by the garments, which is the pshat of what Eishes Potiphar was trying to do. He was able to look deeper, and he was able to save himself from a very big aver, and he became Yosef HaTzadik in that moment. Okay, so the goal, again, the goal is not to spend our whole life like running from ourselves and destroying our personality and destroying our emotions. The goal is to try to uplift them and to recognize that everything is a malbush. Moloch al kol ha'olam kula, Hashem is ruling the whole world, but it's bichvodecha. It's still in garments until we recognize that the king is wearing those garments. That's the avodah. Okay? Let's do a little bit more. Vayishma Moshe, the bottom right-hand corner. All right. Obviously, the parsha goes from a lot of excitement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence revealing itself, and Aaron giving brachas to the people, and everyone really enjoying the inauguration, the conclusion of the inauguration of the Mishkan. And then things take, obviously, a very drastic negative turn with the death of Aaron's two sons. They brought a karban that was not authorized. And, of course, there's a lot of holy intentions maybe that they had, but sof kol sof, Nadav and Avihu were killed. And it became a day of mourning. And Moshe and Aaron spent a lot of time trying to negotiate, trying to figure out exactly what happens now. Right? Aaron is an onen. Aaron's sons were just killed. Aaron's an avelus. What are the halachos? Aninos, avelus. What happens now? Right? Can I continue to do the avoda? Can I eat the karbanos? Achlokas, exactly what to do. Moshe, Aaron, negotiating. Right? Rav Gedalia Shur, we learned a couple times recently, said that this is the shoresh in a certain way. It's a deep idea. He says that this conversation between Moshe and Aaron is really the shoresh of Torah Shebaal Peh within Torah Shebichsav. Because it's like a shakla v'tarya. Aaron says like a svara. Moshe like, I would have said like this. Aaron says, but I would have said like that. It's mamish like, it's mamish like a Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish kind of, moment of debating, Abai and Rava. Okay, so there's an element of Torah Shebaal Peh manifesting here within Torah Shebichsav. But sof kol sof, in the end, Aaron gives a svara, and it's good. It's good in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. It proves to be good in the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is it? Vayishma Moshe vayitav be'enav. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Vayishma Moshe vayitav be'enav. Okay, right. End of Chamishi. Perek Yud Pasuk Chaf. Moshe listened. Vayita ve'enav, he approved. He admitted that he had made a mistake, Rashi says, in the halacha. And Moshe says, you know what, Taka, Aaron's right. I was misguided. I'm happy that Aaron stood up and gave a pasuk chaf. Perek Yud pasuk chaf. Okay, interesting little ha'ara from our Rebbe. Vayishma Moshe vayita ve'enav. So he says, Yesh l'ramiz b'mikra kodesh halag. Everyone see it? Bottom right-hand corner? Kuf chaf bez? Yesh l'ramiz b'mikra kodesh halag. What can we learn from this little holy pasuk? Moshe listened and he approved. It was good in his eyes. Yesh l'ramiz b'mikra kadosh halaz. Kishemizbonein hadas. Sheba'odam b'dvei kuso yisbarach. Oz lo ya'atzrenu hageshem. V'yucha la'odam liros mirachok b'ruach hakodesh. Re'iya sichlis. Okay, let's go slow. Kishim is bone in hadas. We have the ability, if we were able to, if we had access to our own mind. You've all heard, like, we only use 5% of our brain power. Right? You've heard these ideas before. Right? Our mind's eye is actually so expansive that it can actually see things or understand things. Obviously, re'ia, seeing and understanding, somewhat go hand in hand. Re'iya, Shmiya, and understanding. Let's put all three together, I guess. Right? If someone says an idea and you say, I see what you're saying. What do you mean, I see what you're saying? What do you mean, I see what you're saying? It means I understand what you're saying. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does Shema Yisrael mean? Hear, O Israel. Shema Yisrael, understand, internalize. Right? So Re'iya, seeing, and Shmiya, and hearing, are both code words for understanding. When I start from a place of understanding, I actually can expand my koach hashmiya, and I can expand my koach of re'iyah in a way that transcends the natural order. In other words, I could see things the way tzaddikim see things on the other side of the world. How did tzaddikim see things on the other side of the world? How do tzaddikim see things? What did Rabbi Nachman see when he said he saw the darkness descending upon the world when Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev passed away? What did the Baal Shem Tov see when he was communicating with the Or HaChaim HaKadosh? Right? What did the Chavetz Chaim mean when he said, I see that the Rav is a Reus, that the Rabbi went free, that Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was freed from Siberia? He didn't get a message, he didn't get a phone call. What does it mean? I can see these things. What does it mean Rabbi Akiva Eger, who was hard of hearing, could hear things on the other side of the room, even though he couldn't hear certain things that were said right next to him? Right? So again, there's a kalach of re'iyah and shmia that is transcendent, that goes beyond the natural order. It's l'malim and ateva. A person whose eyesight could be physically diminished, and yet they have, able to see things on the other side of the world, right? Like tzaddikim. So again, so kishuiz bone in hadas sheba adam bidveikuso yisbarach azlo yatsrenu hageshem. When a person understands in a deep, deep, deep way, so then physicality doesn't become a blockage, an impediment to his ability to see things at great distance. Baruch HaKodesh, Ari'iya Sichlis, his mind's eye is open to seeing things. Ki Kabo Meha'or HaTov, because he's receiving from the original light of creation. Sheyacholim Lahabit Bo Misofa Olam Ve'atzofa. Like the Gemara says, the original light, Adam Rishon could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Of course, we lost that light. That was taken away from us. But where did Hashem hide that light? Our Rebbe says, many tzaddikim say, Hashem put that light into the Torah itself. So when a person studies Torah in a deep way, and a person is connected to godliness in a deep way, he has access to the Or HaGanus. He has the ability to see things, to hear things, understand things that are way beyond that which is possible to see or hear or understand. So says our Pasuk, Vayishma Moshe, and Moshe understood. Moshe heard. It doesn't mean just Moshe heard. He heard what Aaron was saying. Moshe understood something in a deep way. And what does the Pasuk say? Vayita be'enav. And it was good in his eyes. Our Rebbe says, Vayishma lashon havana kenoda. When a person understands deep, that's what we're all striving to become. Vayishma Moshe. Moshe we know corresponds to das. When a person understands with deep, deep, deep connectivity, dveikos, das, connection, chibor, then vayita be'enav, then your eyes become different eyes. You see the world in a different way. It's good for your eyes. Azai hatov hu be'enav. As ha'or ki tov. The original good light of creation, right, fills his eyes. And again, doesn't mean you're the Chos of Lublin, doesn't mean you're the Chavetz Chaim, doesn't mean, right? But again, that's what we're learning today. It's possible for a person to see things and understand things in a deeper way. You walk down the street, and it's much more lichtig. Everything's lit up. You're not literally seeing the letters of creation that the world is built upon, like the Baal HaTanya was, but you're seeing Elokos, right? It could be as simple as, looking across the street and seeing the phone number for Falafel Crunch and saying, I see that number. And I see a remez in it, right? I see a hint in the number, right? Or I see something happen, or I overhear a conversation, and I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a message to me. That's called having open eyes and open ears. That's a person who's living with Moshe, with Das, with connectivity. Right? And then he's able to see the whole world. Again, you're not necessarily going to become a Baal Ruach HaKodesh who knows what's happening in every part of the world. But you're able to interpret the events of the world. You understand on the most simple level when something happens in Japan, right? It's saying something to you. It means something to you. I told you one time that Rav Elias Svei, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Philadelphia Yeshiva, when he was a young boy in Poland, he came into the Beis Medrash one day and he saw that people were davening very seriously. So what happened? So they said there was reports of an earthquake in Japan. So now they got reports of an earthquake. I don't know how they got those reports, but they got reports that there had been an earthquake in Japan. So he said, were Yidden killed? So he said, we don't know if there's any Yidden who live there. So what's everyone davening about? So it was like very intense. It was almost like something had happened to, So one of the older people took him over to the shelf and pulled off a Gemara Yevamos and opened it up and said, look. And he showed him that the tsaros of the world, whatever happens in the world, is because of us. We're in the, whether for good or for not, we're in the driver's seat. We're responsible for steering the ship. So when something happens, right, in Japan, even if I can't draw a direct correlation to what Klal Yisrael did to cause this, but we're Hashem empowered us to steer the world. And therefore, when something happens, so that's what these Alter Yidden in Chaklova, Poland, said to a younger Eliezer. You have to realize the earthquake in Japan is on us. We need to take accountability for that. We need to daven over that. Hashem is sending a message to us. Don't say it has nothing to do with us. Chafetz Chaim has letters, and the collected letters of the Chafetz Chaim, I have it in my office. There's letters where the Chafetz Chaim writes a letter when there was some flooding in Mississippi. The Chafetz Chaim said, we heard about the terrible floods in Mississippi recently and other, you know, world events, and we need to be ma'orer ourselves to tshuva. Let's do it with me. I don't live in Mississippi. Chafetz Chaim said, it has everything to do with you. You're a Yid. You're responsible to uphold Hashem's garden. La'avdu l'shamra. Right? That's not only in Gan Eden, that's the whole world. Your job is to take care of the world. Basi l'gani. This whole world's my garden, Hashem says. So your job is to take care of the world. Okay, so I think you know, that's part of our responsibility to be a person who's connected and seeing what's happening in the world and to feel that it's nogea to me. It's relevant to me. And it requires das, and it requires a deep re'iyah and a deep shmiyah. And that's what this pasuk says. Vayishma Moshe. The more deeply a person understands with das, with Moshe, vayita ve'enav, then his eyes become enlightened to be able to recognize, right, to see past the garments of the world and to be able to hug the king, mamish, to make contact with the king. Okay, two more little pieces. Kuf Chaf Gimel. Okay, ve'el b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemur. See, towards the top of the right-hand column. Ve'el b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemur. When Moshe, going back to the beginning of the parsha, pieces here are sometimes out of order. When Moshe tells Aaron that he's going to bring karbanos, he then says, "And tell Bnei Yisrael that they should also take the following karbanos." Why did Moshe tell Aaron to tell Bnei Yisrael to take the karbanos? Why couldn't Moshe just tell them himself? And he gives a beautiful answer, a short answer, but a beautiful answer. Lama hutzrach Aaron lidaber. Why couldn't Moshe say it himself? And what's the lemur? Vel b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemur. To b'nei Yisrael you shall speak, saying. What's the lemur? So our Rebbe says, you have to understand, what's happening now is Aaron is correcting some of the wrongs that happened by the Chet HaEgel. That's why the first thing on the list of Aaron's karbanos is kach lecha egel. Kach lecha, take for yourself. Take for yourself an egel. Rashi says, lehodia, to make it known that you've been forgiven for the chet of the egel. But what else happened by the chet egel? What did Aaron say to Bnei Yisrael by the chet egel? V'nirali liyoshu amar chag l'Hashem machar. When Aaron was trying to navigate that very delicate situation, and he was trying to delay, and he was hoping Moshe would show up, and everything would be avoided. And he says, "Chag la Hashem machar, tomorrow will be a chag for Hashem." In other words, Aaron didn't just fail to stop the eagle. Aaron actually said words. Right? He encouraged Bnei Yisrael. Here's how we're going to do it. And he said to them, "Hutzrach ba'atzmo lasos tshuvas hamishkol." So now Aaron has to do tshuva for what he said. So the same way that he said to Bnei Yisrael, let's make a celebration tomorrow, which was referring to that terrible Avera, so Aaron also, Lamor, has to be metaken his dibur here by saying to Bnei Yisrael, let's bring good karbanos to Hashem. It's called Tshuvas HaMishko, right? To even the score. Mida keneged mida. Vizeu Lamor, right? He needs to say right over here, Bishvil Amiraso Chag LaHashem Machar, because of what he said wrong over there. It shows you the precision with which a person should do tshuva. We sometimes feel that tshuva is like, you know, it's very general. But part of vidui, which is the essence of tshuva, is really getting into the details of what I did, understanding it fully, and then trying to fix each part of it. So if I sinned in my mind, I have to cleanse my mind. If I sinned with my speech, I have to fix my speech. If I sinned with my body, I have to fix my body. If I sinned with all three dimensions, I have to try to work on being mitaki in all three dimensions. Avram, Aaron, you didn't just allow Chet Egel, you actually spoke about it. You encouraged the people in a certain way. It was maybe L'shem Shemayim, whatever it was. But you spoke towards Bnei Yisrael in a way that led them to this sin. So now you have to speak to Bnei Yisrael in a way that brings them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how you settle the score. Okay, last but not least, the bottom paragraph on Kuf Chav Gimel, bottom right-hand column. Va'asei eschatoscha v'chulo. This is Pasuk Zion. Yeah. So exactly the opposite. If a person spoke Lashon Hara, if you said bad on a person, so say good on that person. Right? You said bad on Klal Yisrael, so say good on Klal Yisrael. Say something positive about Klal Yisrael. Right? If you use your speech to harm, even if I can't, let's say, do it to that exact person, so use my speech to build up. It's mamish the same idea. It's the same idea. You have Ava, use it in the right way. You have Yira, use it in the right way. Take it out of its wrongful garment and put it into, dress it up in the right way. Right? Connect yourself deeply to it so you can experience it in the bigger way. That's our theme today. Okay? Pasuk Zayin. Parak Tes Pasuk Zayin. The bottom right-hand paragraph on Kuf Chav Gimel. Last little piece. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron. Right, Moshe says to Aaron, I'm reading the whole Pasuk, Krav el Hamizbeach. Draw close to the Mizbeach. Vasei ascha toscha vesol asecha. V'chaper ba'adcha uva'ata'am. Aaron, bring your chatos. Bring your Ola, and that will be as a kapara for you and on behalf of the people. Va'asei as karbana am, and then bring the karban of the people. V'chaper ba'adam kasher tziva Hashem. So it's a little funny. It almost sounds like Aaron, bring your karban for you, but also on behalf of the people, and then bring the karbanos for the people on behalf of the people. Do the people need a double kapara? Why does it say initially, V'asei as chatascha, bring your chatas, your sin offering, and it'll be what? V'chaper ba'adcha uva'adam. It'll be on behalf of you and the people. And then it says right after, V'asei as karban ha'am, and bring the karban of the people. So there's a lot of different ways one could maybe think to answer this question. Our Rebbe says a very nice thing, and it's a big chizuk. Yesh lizbonin, lama omer b'karbanos Aaron l'chaper gam ba'adam. Why? By Aaron's personal karban, does it also say this is a kapar for the people? It's a good kasha. Again, pasha to kasha, just read the pasuk. Pasuk is a strange pasuk. Aaron, come close to the Mizbeach, bring your karbanos, right? It'll be an atonement for you and the people, and then bring the karbanos to be mechaper for the people, which was separate karbanos. What's the pshat? V'hanira, however, we learn the power of Klal Yisrael. This is the day that Aaron is being selected to become Kohen Gadol. We didn't do the piece, but on the previous page, he brings an interesting thing on the words Vayihi Bayom HaShmini. Vayihi is always something sad. The Gemara says, what was sad on Vayihi Bayom HaShmini? Nadav and Avihu died. But you know, it was also a shtickle disappointment, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini. Chaval that Moshe couldn't be the Kohen Gadol. Chaval that Moshe couldn't be the Kohen Gadol. Says the Megala Mukos, he quotes Megala Mukos, yeah, if Moshe would have become the Kohen Gadol, then Moshe's Kuhuna would have been something so big, so powerful, that no klipa, that no sitra acha could ever have a shlit on Klal Yisrael, and death would have been removed from the world. Interesting. And Moshe would have been Kohen Gadol forever. But now, unfortunately, because it was only Aaron, Hashem selected that, but on a certain level, it was only Aaron, and that's why it's Aaron Uvanov, because Aaron is not going to live forever, and he's going to be replaced by other Kohanim Gedolim. But if Moshe would have become Kohen Gadol, it could have been a whole different thing. So Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, chaval that Aaron took over. Deep idea. It would require a lot of just thinking to even begin to scratch the surface what that means. Yeah. Our question over here is just a Pashut reading of Pasuk Zayin. The Pasuk says, Aaron, come close to the Mizbeach, bring your karbanos to be a kapara for you and for the people. And then right after it says, and then bring the karbanos to the people as a kapara for the people. So why are you mentioning the people initially? Right? How is Aaron's personal chatascha a kapara for Klal Yisrael? So again, just going back. So this is the day that Aaron is selected. Again, maybe it would have been better to pick Moshe, whatever that means. This is the day that Aaron is selected. How do you feel, those of us who are non-Kohanim, how do you feel about not being a Kohen? So a little bit, you should feel, chaval, I'm not a Kohen. Disappointing, I'm not a Kohen. would have been nice to be a Kohen. No? The Chavetz Chaim, actually, Rav Schwab brings this in his Sefer on Chumash, Mayan Beis HaShoeva. He brings a few famous things from that Shabbos. Rav Schwab spent the Shabbos with the Chavetz Chaim. So there's certain conversations they had over Shabbos that Rav Schwab recorded. At one point, the Chavetz Chaim turns to Rav Schwab, Rav Shimon Schwab, and it sounds like almost uncharacteristically not Chavetz Chaim. He turns to Rav Schwab and he says, "Are you a Kohen?" Schwab says, "No." Chavetz Chaim says, "I'm a Kohen." He's like, "Okay." He's like, "But you're not a Kohen?" He's like, "No." He's like, "Oh, because I'm a Kohen." He's like, "Why am I a Kohen? Why are you not a Kohen?" Schwab's like, "Not sure." He said, "I'll tell you why." Chavetz Chaim said, "I'll tell you why. Because when Moshe said, Mila Hashem Eli, and Moshe said, who's on God's team? Who's going to stand up for what's right?" So my ancestors, Chavetz Chaim said, "My ancestors came and stood next to Moshe's, and yours didn't," as he said to him. And he said to Rav Schwab, he said, "Next time you hear the call of Mila Hashem Eli, run to stand on the right side. I'm a Kohen only because my ancestors stood up for what was right. Mila Hashem Eli." They responded to the call. Whoa. So how do you feel about not being a Kohen? How do you feel about Aaron being selected? There's two pieces in Kedushas Levi. One's in Parshas Tetzava. The other one, I think, is in Baloscha, where the Berditchever says, any time Hashem makes a selection in Chumash, you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds immediately afterwards by showering Ava on Klal Yisrael. So you shouldn't think Hashem loves this Jew more than that Jew. Does Hashem be'etzem like the Kohen Gadol more than he likes anyone? In a certain way, the Kohen Gadol has a unique, right, unique place in Klal Yisrael. But Hashem loves all of His children. Do I love one of my children more than another one of my children because they have a particular role that they play? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always responds whenever he has it in Parshas Tetzav, when the Kohen Gadol wears the choshen, right? He has the names of all of Klal Yisrael. He has all the shvatim on his chest. Why? Says the Kedushas Levi, because when Hashem is picking a Kohen Gadol, you want to make sure that the Kohen Gadol knows, by the way, Hashem loves all of His children. Don't think that you're different. Same thing in Parshas Baloscha also. When it talks about the selection of Sheva Levi, Rashi says, it says Yisrael, 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 five times in the Pasuk. And Kedushas Levi writes over there, it's to teach us that Hashem, at the moment when someone is being set apart, you should remember every Jew is equally beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can add to those two Torahs from the Berditchever this Torah right here. What does he say? Vahanira dilamdeu das shelo yala al daito ba'akrivu es karbonosav kodem lekarbonosav. You might think, why did Aaron get to go first? Why should Aaron's carbon come before the people? Right? Maybe Aaron's carbon came before the people because Hashem likes Aaron more, because he's more chashiv. Maybe his carbon is more desirable. Shuhu merutza yoser laHashem yisparach b'carbon oseim. Maybe Aaron's offering is more desirable. Maybe Aaron the person is more desirable than the rest of Klal Yisrael. Maybe Hashem has favorites. You might think that. Rak bevadai karbonos hatzibur chashuvim yoser lifnei Hashem yisparach. However, you should know that what? That in fact the carbon of Klal Yisrael, the carbonos of Klal Yisrael is more important than any individual. So why did Aaron bring his carbon first? You have to ask them. That's the kasha. Rak shehu behechreach liyoshu ha-makriv v'hamechaper. But you want the person who's going to process your carbon to himself be a person who's what? Who's in good standing. So Aaron had to clean himself off first through his own personal carbon, and then offer the carbonos to the people. But to show that that's the case, what does the pasuk say? Bring your carbon for what purpose? V'chaper ba'adcha uva'ad ha'am. Why are you mentioning the people already? This is my private moment to shine. We'll get to the people next. Hashem's like, no. I don't want you to think that you're going ahead of the people because you're better than the people. It's just that we want you to be in a state of kapara before you bring kapara upon others. And he quotes the pasuk that we just had in Parshas Parah this past Shabbos. V'hiza ha-tahor al-tameh. You want a pure person who's helping the impure person to remove his impurity. Right? He's a Torah al Tamek Siv. V'im kain b'kavanaso zos b'karbonosov. V'im kain gan karbonosov heimachana l'chapar sa'am. So with Aaron knowing that his carbon is really just allowing him to then be able to bring kapara on the people, so his carbon is also really part of the kapara on the people. But you shouldn't think, again, you shouldn't read the pasuk and think Aaron came before the tzibur because the Kohen Gadol is more chashav than the tzibur. The tzibur is the most chashav thing. The tzibur of Klal Yisrael is the most absolute thing that we have. Right? Nishmas Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. Happens to be, practically, we want the Kohen Gadol to be pure before he brings kapara upon others. That's the only reason Aaron was first. And it's woven into his kapara, the chaper ba'adcha uva'ad ha'am. The power of Klal Yisrael. It's a good hachana for, HaChodesh Azel Lachem. HaChodesh Azel Lachem. This Shabbos, Parshas HaChodesh. Starting to make hachanas for Pesach. Right? Pesach is a big time of achdus. A person's not allowed to shech the karban Pesach for a yachid. You have to make a chavura. You got to sign up. You got to register. You got to be part of a team. Right? You got to make sure that you're not an independent entity. But I'm part of a tzibur, I'm part of a klal Yisrael, part of Knesset Yisrael. Okay, kashas, yeah. Comments.
If being a Kohen is not an independent of being better or more positive, then why does, because the Bechorot do the Hegel, are they now...
It may be, you have to be very careful with our words, it may be better and it may be more chashuv. But Hashem doesn't love the Kohen Gadol more than he loves the biggest Avarian Shel Yisrael. Right? The Chavetz Chaim was saying to Rav Schwab, my ancestors made a better choice than your ancestors. So in terms of better, in terms of chashivas, in terms of kavod, so that's what we were talking about yesterday. You know, what's more holy, a sefer Torah or a pencil? Right? You have to be careful with the word. What do the words mean? More holy. What does it mean, Hashem? You know, Hashem did pick the Kohen. So there is, that's got to be worth something. Right? And Chavetz Chaim saying to Rav Schwab, it was a choice that my ancestors made to earn this special distinction. But to distinguish between the level of you know, it's like the Meshech Chachma says, the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is worn opposite the heart, has how many compartments? It's written in what? One. Tefillin Shel Rosh has the four parashios in four different compartments. What's the pshat? When it comes to, Meshech Chachma says it, where the Rambam describes the different levels of Hashkacha Pratis. Right? Some people have more of a general Hashkacha. The more holy you are, the more Hashem is mindful of you. So in terms of the mind, that Hashem's mind upon you, kivyachol, right? So there's different madrigos, there's different four different compartments. In terms of the heart, in terms of the ava, shaveh. It's equal by everyone. One compartment. So different compartments. Hashem doesn't. It's like asking me, do I love my daughter Meira or my son Yaakov more? Equal, different, different in my head, but equal in my heart.
So why can't the pasuk just express that why are we one? Maybe we could just say that Aaron is just because he's more fashion that they can have his own carbon and not have to be the
right. Again, you see that sensitivity. Right. Right, right, right. So you could say, right, you could say that. But you see, again, that's why I mentioned those two pieces from the Verditcher. You see that Hashem is so sensitive when it looks like Hashem is playing favorites and singling someone out, Hashem sends a message to push back on that a little bit. So even here, Hashem says, don't forget that. You're not more chashav than the Am. Just because you're the Kohen Gadol, because you're selected, you're set apart, doesn't give you a sense that on a certain level you're not more chashav than the Tzibur. In fact, the Tzibur is more chashav than you on a certain level. Okay.